Chapter 13. Once the Oklahoma courts were finished with Ron's case and the date of execution was set, his attorneys hustled to federal court and began the next stage of appeals. The proceedings are known as habeas corpus, Latin for "you should have the body." A writ for habeas corpus required that an inmate be brought before the court to determine the legality of his detention. His case was assigned to Janet Chesley, a lawyer with the Indigent Defense System in Norman. Janet had extensive experience with habeas work and was accustomed to the frenetic pace of filing last-minute motions and appeals while watching the clock race toward an execution. She met with Ron, explained the process, and assured him he would get a stay. In her work, such conversations were not unusual, and her clients, though understandably jittery, always came to trust her. The execution date was serious, but no one was put to death until the habeas appeals had been exhausted. But Ron was different. The formal pronouncement of a date with death had pushed him even deeper into insanity. He was counting the days, unable to believe Janet's promises. The clock had not stopped. The death chamber was waiting. A week went by, then two. Ron spent much time in prayer and Bible study. He also slept a lot and stopped screaming. His drugs were being liberally dispensed. The row was quiet and waiting. The other inmates missed nothing and wondered if the state would really execute someone as insane as Ron Williamson. 3 weeks went by. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Oklahoma is in Muskogee. In 1994, there were two judges, neither of whom was particularly fond of habeas corpus appeals or jailhouse lawsuits. They came in by the truckload. Every prisoner had issues and complaints. Most claimed innocence and abuse. The death row boys had real lawyers, some from big firms working pro bono, and the briefs were thick and creative and had to be reckoned with. The general population prisoners were usually represented by themselves, with no shortage of advice from the writ writers who held sway in the law libraries and sold their opinions for cigarettes. If the inmates weren't filing habeas appeals, they were filing lawsuits over bad food, cold showers, mean guards, tight handcuffs, lack of sunlight. The list was long. Most prisoners' suits lacked merit and were dismissed outright, then sent to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver, home base for the sprawling federal district that included Oklahoma. The habeas corpus appeal filed by Janet Chesley was randomly assigned to Judge Frank C., a Jimmy Carter appointee who took the bench in 1979. Judge C. was from Seminole, and prior to his federal appointment, he had served for 11 years as the trial judge in the 22nd District, which included Pontotoc County. He was familiar with the courthouse there and the town and its lawyers. In May 1971, Judge C. had driven to the village of Asher and delivered a high school commencement speech. One of the 17 graduates was Ron Williamson. After 15 years on the bench, Judge C. had little patience with the habeas corpus appeals that landed in his office. The Williamson petition arrived there in September 1994, just a few days before the execution. He suspected, in fact, he knew, that the death penalty lawyers often waited until the last possible moment to file their petitions so that he and other federal judges would be forced to grant stays while the paperwork got sorted out. He often wondered what the poor convict was going through, sweating the hours on death row while his lawyers engaged in a bit of brinksmanship with a federal judge. But it was good lawyering, and though Judge C. understood it, he still didn't like the process. He'd granted a few stays, but never a new trial in a habeas corpus matter.